This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So the only thing left to say is, you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. You can also get reward points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
What's going on, people? Welcome to the live match reaction. Palace 2, Newcastle 0. I was going to say 0 shots on target, but allegedly they've had 2 shots on target. Palace scored as many goals as Newcastle had shots on target. And we're talking about one of the most informed teams. 3 wins, Elise, well, 3 wins back-to-back. Back-to-back. On top of that, Elise sitting on a bench. I mean, this is the new Palace, joined by AJ here and also Stan. As always, we want to hear from you. So if you do enjoy this, like, subscribe, get involved by letting us know your thoughts in the comment section, and the link will be posted so you can join us live. New Palace. There's people that doubted him. Doubted this man. Doubted him. Oh, I don't know how. I don't know how they doubted him, but here we are with another win and a massive win. A win without Gehi once again, which people forget about. A win with Will Hughes looking like the next Pirlo, which is wild, considering we talk about Will Hughes, what's happened to him. IU assist. You know, these are players that we wanted for them to step up, and under different manager, different players. It seemed like they're all new players, and that's why a new manager is important, and he has paid off. But look, I'm going to give my thoughts and also all of your thoughts throughout the show as well. But let me hand it over to AJ. AJ, talk to me. 2-0 win, another win, clean sheet. You have to be like impressed, not just by these last 3 games, but you have to be excited even looking forward to next season. The potential is there.
Yo, listen. Glasner's cooking and I am eating all of it, bro. This man is, listen, he's here and he is special. I have to big up Stan, man. He called it. He knew.
Remember, bro. I called it in November.
He called it. He did. From ages, but I remember that, you know, because when he dropped the name on me, I was like, I don't really know the name still. But nah, man, listen. Mateta, Eze, Elise, Wharton, Munoz, Richards, even Henderson was doing bits today. Listen. What I'm liking now is every player has to fight for their place, and that's to show the manager like levels, and everybody's doing their job. Like, I can't remember the last time I was this happy as a Palace fan, man. We're just looking good, man, and we're looking up the table rather than just looking to sort of scrape ourselves back into the Premier League. Obviously, it's confirmed we are looking at another season in the Premier League, so obviously that naturally goes with the flow. But I'm watching Palace games, man. I'm sitting at Selhurst, man. I've got a big ass grin on my face, man. And the vibes is good. Everything's where it needs to be, man. This guy, we need to back this guy in the summer, man. He is the truth. Like, he's got Mateta out here playing like R9 Ronaldo. Like, this is crazy.
10 goals,
like, to the point where he don't even have to run to the corner and be fly kicking it out. He's now bopping to it and just holding there like, this is mine.
And he tucks his shirt in, bro.
Looking
like a pro, looking like a pro, man. It's just a normal, another day at work. Shirt tucked in. Makes me need to do wear a tie, and then he looks smart, man. He's a smart man.
What's he saying? Fantastic. You get me, man. Like Mateta, you know. Listen, I should slap myself for doubting him, you know, because you know what? He's here.
I doubted him before, bro.
I'm chatting shit about Mateta, and I have to humble myself now, man, and eat that humble pie and just admit, listen, he's here.
The first goal, because the link-up play was so good and the finish was so good, I actually, like, burst out laughing when it went in. I was like, oh, my God.
Made it look easy. And you have players like Ayew on the list getting assists, you know, and he's had a good season in terms of production as well. But that's what I'm talking about, though. It's not just one player, it's everyone. And I said this as well. We have done this with Elise sitting on a bench for 75 minutes. 75 minutes. Look at the amount of chances that we created. And the reason for that isn't any individual players really stepping up in particular, let's say one player stepping up. It is Crystal Palace as a football club stepping up to the plate, from the defenders to the midfielders to the strikers.
Lads,
this is what you get from a coach that can coach. It sounds so simple, sounds so cliche, but this is simply it. This is a well-coached Crystal Palace side. And that is why we are creating all these chances. And that is why we can have Elise on the bench. Against Newcastle, I think their away form, fifth best in the league. I think when you look at the overall form table, fifth best. Like, they are on form. And we can have Elise on the bench and let him play 15 minutes and still create and absolutely destroy in terms of the shots. Newcastle, we can do that. Why? Oliver Glasner. And I said this, what game was it? Liverpool game, I think. I said it then. Like, it's not a shock to me because we have been improving by the game. And remember, we're keeping clean sheets without Gaye. How many minutes has Mark Gaye played? We're playing Nathaniel Clyne at centre-back, and even he's doing a job.
He was superb tonight.
Even he's doing a job. Like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous because on paper, when you look at some of these players, we shouldn't be getting results or playing as good as we are. We shouldn't, because of what we've seen from these players so far this season under the previous regime. But when you bring in another coach who knows what they're doing, who can figure out the problems, who also doesn't force players. I think that Elise call was massive today to put him on the bench. Because, you know, you won two games in a row. Elise had a fantastic game, but you still put him on the bench because you have ability in your faith. And that is what it is. He's not chatting rubbish when he says, I want to win every single game. And I mean, are we not entertained? I definitely am. Yeah. And I've said it. I'm looking forward to next season. This is an extended preseason. This is the chance for some of these players to prove themselves. This is also a chance for some of these players to see what we can do under Glasner. Maybe, I know some players might leave, but hopefully. Anderson, hold up. Joakim Anderson, people. He's, what, about a month or 2 months ago. What's happening with Anderson? He's having an absolutely terrible season. Now he's the captain, leading a side to clean sheets. And you think a manager doesn't have an influence on that? Every single player is 100% influence from the manager, because we've got belief. We've got our Palace back. That's the biggest thing. Even if we don't win games, we look forward to games because we know we are going to try to win. And right now, it's not only that, we are winning, which makes it even greater. But it is what it is. For those who don't believe, from the neutrals, one day they'll come on board. And they'll slowly come on board, 100%. Because Glasner, I've said it, as much as I love Vieira, I think Glasner's ball is more sustainable and suitable in terms of what he wants to do to us in the long run rather than Vieira. Vieira's ball, I think, was maybe, well, it's hard to say, more exciting right now, but higher pressing and, you know, possession and what he wanted to do, very exciting. But I think Glasner can actually lead us to results, which Vieira done in his first season, but in the long run, because I think it's perfectly balanced in terms of when to press, when to defend, when to do literally everything. Is perfectly balanced. And I think that suits us the best. But look, let's bring on Nick first, who's been waiting. Nick.
Nice one.
Yeah, shouldn't I, before I came on? Hang on.
Yeah. I mean, we're only expecting 10 out of 10 performances here. Every person that comes on, have your hair done, everyone done, your background sorted. Nick, your background is nice, so we'll have that, a few books there.
Yeah.
But look, you're a man of knowledge. You're a man of knowledge. And when Glasner did join, you know, he was also excited. And it seems like we're getting rewards, Nick, even though it's still fairly early days.
I want us to do a watch-along for the next game. And I want Roy to be with us. and turn around to him and say, that's how you play these fucking players. You don't sit back. You press them. You worry them.
Sorry to interrupt. Did you go to the game or did you watch on TV?
No, I've got dodgy feet, so I gave it a miss tonight.
So I just want to say, you just mentioned the press. I want to say about the press. I don't know if you saw 25 minutes in, Dan Byrne was blowing. Like, he was on the floor. He could not handle it. He was like hands on his knees, like, he could not handle it. That's the press. Do you know what I mean?
When who was it went down? I think it was Isaac went down. I thought he was going down because he wanted to come off.
I forgot how he was playing. I'll be honest. Like, he was quiet, and we're talking about a player that's been linked with Arsenal and all these other big clubs. He was quiet. He was quiet with Anderson at the back.
Yeah. But a lot of it is down to fitness, because I think Glasner was trying to instill that in the first couple of games. Okay, the Burnley game, they're crap. So the 3-1 kind of, we got excited very quickly. We always said, a few of us said at the beginning, it's going to take 6, 7, 8, 9 games for Glasner ball to actually take effect. But boy, is it taking effect. Will Hughes, man of the match, do we think, AJ?
Yeah, I agree with that. He's been quality the past games. Obviously, on Sunday, he kind of looked like he was kind of floating towards a second booking a couple of times. I think he got away with a little bit of murder. But today, he was 10 out of 10. Outstanding.
And Dee, were you worried when Riedewald and Schlupp were coming on? Or were you like, oh, yeah, a bit of fitness in there. That'll be all you. Schlupp did really well for the second goal, didn't he?
I feel we needed it. When you look at the game, you can see that Newcastle was slowly, putting plays forward, and Walton was on a yellow card. And then Eze, of course, started a game and had, even though he didn't do it by himself, because, we have even the right wing, Munoz being the creative player as well. But Eze was the primary creative player going forward. It was the right moment. It was the right moment to make them subs. And he has made them subs. You get it? It's not only this game. Like, he knows when to make subs. The biggest thing about Glasner is his game management. And also, not just game management, overall, from the start, but even before the game starts, like, he doesn't force things. That's what I'm saying. The Elise call today, to put him on the bench, it's hard to say, but you wouldn't really see that on, I don't know, I can't say it for definite because I don't know 100%, but based on what Roy done, bringing on Elise with 3-0 down and forcing him through the injury, I just don't see a scenario of Elise being on a bench today if Roy was in charge, if it was a similar situation, because as simple as, individuals carried us. Right now, it's a team. It's a team game. Everyone is playing their part. And I think that's the biggest thing about Glasner. Like, he has faith in his own tactics that he can put on Jordan Ayew, and Jordan Ayew can perform in his tactics, that he doesn't need to have an easy start.
But then, even on that point, D, isn't it quite interesting that we've got a manager that is willing to take off the more glamorous star players in our team and put on a player like a Rinder or a Gyro or a Slup and stuff like that? We saw him do against Liverpool. And I kind of sighed a little bit when he put those players on. He did it on Sunday again. He is willing to take off Eze, Elise, Mateta, whoever it is. Mateta was a hat-trick on the weekend. Well, he was on a hat-trick today, in theory, but he was on a hat-trick on the weekend and he was playing out of his arse, essentially, and he took him off because, as far as he's concerned, he's tactically got a system in his brain. And because the players say, no player in that team is untouchable, no player is beyond being subbed off or substituted if he can make sure the system comes through. And I think that just screams not only just confidence for the manager, but also the cutthroat ability to be able to make the decisions, no matter how crazy we might individually think it is as well.
Yeah, I was right to look so gutted he was coming off, because it was his best game under Glasner. There have been a couple of games where he hasn't quite been up to pace with everybody else in the team, I thought. But today, he kind of got rid of that. I mean, that one too, or that pass into Mateta for the first goal. Wasn't it lovely? Unselfish, lovely flowing move. I mean, have we seen so much one-touch football at Palace? When was the last time we saw this much one-touch?
I can't get my head around how they're playing, though, because it's like, it's like how you should play football. And like, what have we, why weren't we doing this beforehand? Like, we obviously, you know, need to add some.
Couldn't do it because the fitness wasn't there. That's the problem. Like, I don't, that's why it's even more impressive what Glasner has done, because Glasner not only had to come in and change the tactics, but he's had to make some of these players who didn't look like Premier League footballers. You could play 90 minutes, and he's had to improve the fitness levels on top of getting the system right and understanding the players. Like, he's had so much to do on his plate as soon as he walked through the door. And that's why it wasn't ideal, but it was needed. And this is why I respect Glasner a lot, because all of the other managers that we were linked with, they didn't have the balls to step up to the plate and take the job. And that goes down to what was the names that Steve Cooper apparently wasn't too keen at the time. And then we had, who else was it? The ex-Wolves manager, what's his name? Lopetegui. And I said at the time, I said, if they're not keen and up for the job right now, don't come to us in the summer. Don't even come to us at all, because clearly you're not built for this. You don't have faith in your own ability. Only Glasner did. And I understand why Glasner did, because he actually knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. He's done it abroad in the Bundesliga. He's done it in the European level. I mean, he's won a Europa League, and you kind of understand it with his tactics. His tactics are on point, and he has worked so far. And I'm not saying we will win every single game, and I say this every single stream. Like, there might be a Fulham game where we might have blips on the road, and that is normal because we are still fairly new. But the early signs are very impressive, because we are doing this without a transfer window, without a pre-season under this manager. And you think about what can happen next with a preseason, with a transfer window, and also players out of contract. Now, if Palace are serious, and this goes down to all of the management at Crystal Palace, because there's been heavy criticism, there's been banners this season, which we've never seen before. If we are serious about pushing forward and taking this club to the next level, as some owners say, you show it this summer. You show it this summer. And you make, well, whatever move you have to make, you have to go and do it this summer. You have to back this manager, because he's clearly showing that the players are on board with his tactics. Not only that, you know, they seem like they're enjoying it. And a lot of players that were out of form now, you know, are playing on top level. And not only that, we are getting results as well. So we have to back him. It is simple as that. This next level nonsense that we've been hearing, instead of talking about it, let's actually do it. And let's actually see where we can go as a football club, if we want to invest to push up the table rather than down. And they might have to make some big moves. And that's the part. They might have to sell one of these players, or that might have to happen. But if that's what they need to do, then they need to do it to back this manager. Because I can't have another season where we go into a season and we talk about, oh, we should have bought player A, player B, player C, and why didn't we back him? And so, we can't do that. Let's actually go for it. Let's actually go for it. And look at the difference it makes when we do actually, you know, try on the pitch. Let's now go behind the manager. Go on, Nick.
I do actually think, though, with the squad we've got, he could finish top 10.
Yeah. Well, that's a shout as well. That's a shout as well. I mean, we'll talk about it more in pre-season, of course, when certain situations, apparently the contract talks are meant to start or have started now with players out of contract. So it'll be interesting to see who stays, who leaves. Well, yeah, you can't. Yeah, Will Hughes is playing for that money, man. He's playing for that pay rise, and rightly so. But yeah,
he did say that we're going to talk about contracts once we knew we were safe and was talking about after Fulham, but it's brought that a few days forwards, hasn't it?
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see now. I'm pretty sure that's going to start. And let's see who Glasner rates and he doesn't rate. Of course, not only on Glasner on contract renewals, but he's going to have a massive say. He must do.
We are sidestepping the big reason for the turnaround in form, D, is that you left the country and you're not actually coming to the game anymore.
Yeah, you're not coming.
I've left the country. I was there when we beat Liverpool 1-0. I was there when we beat Liverpool 1-0. So it doesn't work. I was there when we beat Liverpool 1-0.
You don't go to the game.
No, it must count maybe for home games.
Yeah. Last home game, I can't even remember that I've been to, because it feels like it's been a while. But look, Nick, thank you for coming on. Let's just see what others are saying as well. But always a pleasure talking to you.
Yep, loving the new wardrobe, D. Well done.
That's not a new wardrobe. That's
what Nick Wayne said. He's taking a trip to IKEA, lads. He's taking a trip to IKEA.
Yeah, he's in IKEA at the moment.
Exactly, IKEA promotion. All right then, Nick, see you later.
Bye.
See you. All right then, let's bring on Cody next. By the way, if you're enjoying the stream, people, there's over 300, well, nearly 350. If you can smash the like button, subscribe, share, let's help the algorithm, let's help the channel grow as well.
It's a great community that we have here. Thanks to every single one of you that's done it already. Cody, another win. 3 in a row now on the Glasnow.
And Cody.
Must be loving it. Must be loving it.
Oh, I love it, man. Talk about one heck of a turnaround we've had since the beginning of the season just because of one new guy. It's just amazing what Ladder's been able to do. And Dan, I will give you all the credit in the world for calling that out for us to get him at the beginning when we're trying to find somebody to replace Roy. What a shout out there. Because this man has done nothing but greatness for this team. He's done nothing but bring a better mentality, physicality. He's even getting our fitness levels up. Even our worst players, like you guys were saying, are playing amazing. Will Hughes has turned into somebody I've never seen before because of this guy. Man, it's great to be a Palace fan right now, guys.
Yeah, yeah. And
he's the real deal. But you know what? As much as I have slated the board and the chairman and whatever, I've got to say, good on them for going to get him. Because you know what? The jobs in the summer are bigger than Palace. Do you know what I mean? Like, imagine you waited till the summer. You got West Ham, Liverpool. There's some big, big, big jobs out there. We might not have got him. We might have ended up with Steve Cooper.
Yeah.
Well, that's the manager that we were linked with for such a long time. And
he turned it down. He didn't fancy it. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly. And now, Cody, it's about, you know, the momentum, right? I know that the season's done. We are officially safe. I know that I didn't think we'll get relegated anyways, but we are officially safe. It's about keeping that momentum, and it's about, you know, getting the fans excited, getting the players excited for next season, because we know with this manager that regardless of what happens, like, he just wants to win every single game.
Yes. Yeah. And that, man, that's what we've needed. I was saying in the chat, it's like, man, why couldn't we have this man at the beginning of the season? It's like I hate to say it in this tense, but it's like we almost threw away a season because we did have Royce at the start. It's like, man, what could have been if we would have had, you know, Glasner at the beginning? I mean, it goes to show, like you said, D, I mean, we had at least they sitting on the bench, and we're still attacking Newcastle with them looking frightened. We're pressing. We're finally pressing the way we should have been at the beginning of the season. And look at the difference. The passes Newcastle were making were awful in the first half because they were so frightened of our press. That's all we've needed. That's all I've been saying at the beginning of the season. We need to press. We need to, you know, attack from the beginning, and we're finally doing it. Thanks to Glasner. But, man, for next season, I know it's almost impossible for us to probably keep Eze and Elise after this season. But, man, if we could keep them both and go into next season with this momentum, oh, dude, there's no telling where we can go with Glasner running the helm. And then, of course, getting back other players like Decore, Franca. I mean, sky's the limit as long as we got Glasner for what I'm seeing right now.
And the other thing is, Newcastle are sixth. They're trying to go Europe. We battered them. We absolutely battered them. Like, they had they created literally nothing. I know Henderson made two really good saves, but their whole tactic was ball over the top or ball down, ball through the middle to Isaac, and that was it. We battered them.
Yeah, and I want to give credit, man. Richards, I mean, the whole defensive, the whole back three, credit to them for shutting down Isaac today. Because, I mean, I know he's one heck of a baller, and teams have had plenty of problems with him, you know, in the past, but, man, good job by them. I mean, there's nobody on the team I can't say that didn't anything negative about at all. And Munoz, man, what a freaking signing. What a freaking signing we got from him.
We needed him, yeah. Watching Munoz today, and not just today, it's I was baffled for a very long time why we didn't sign another right back. We kind of said, oh, it's only right back. But in a modern day, you need a player like Munoz who can attack as well as defend, because he just causes problems, especially in Gladden's system. It would have been impossible to do with Nathaniel Clyne and Joel Wood. I mean, the system just simply wouldn't have worked. But Munoz, you know, fantastic piece of business. And Cody, like, I just wanted to ask you this. Not only Munoz, you mentioned Eze and keeping him for next season. And I've been, not only me, there's been a few others here that's been questioning Eze whether he can do it without Elise. But today, he stepped to the plate.
he stepped up to the plate and he looked like, you know, he can lead that creative line without Elise. Is it a case of Eze just getting a bit more used to Glasner's system and, you know, coming back from injury? Do you think it was just rust and now he's back to his best form?
It could be. I was also thinking along the lines, you know, with Roy, we're just so back in defense with Roy. And it's like Eze now has the freedom to just roam the field. That's his role in this team. He roams the field, finds the open spaces, takes the ball down, finds the open passes. I mean, we didn't have that to begin with at the start of the season. Yeah, he was hurt, and that might have had something to do with it. But I think Glasner's given him a lot of freedom with where he needs to be on the field compared to, you know, I think Roy was more on the spot of, you know, I need you to stay in position, stay back, and then counterattack when we have the opportunity. But with Glasner, I think it's just a refreshment for Eze. He's almost like tuning the team a little bit for Eze so he can have the freedom role. It could be. I think it could be him just working off Russ. But whatever Glasner's doing with Eze, it's working, because a couple weeks ago I was kind of shy on the fact of, you know, maybe Eze might not be the right type of guy in this system. But slowly but surely, especially after today and our last game against West Ham, yeah, he's the perfect fit for now, I see, because all he needs to do is just roam the field. That's all he needs to do. That's what he's there for, and he does it spectacularly.
Yeah. I think he's had that's the thing. It was weird because even in games where he's had an assist or a goal, like he's had spells where he just disappeared, but today it felt like.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
From minute one till he came, you know, till he came off, he was consistent. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's not like he's gained and momentum swung from one side to another. He was pretty consistent throughout the game. And I think that is what he should, you know, that's what he should be aiming for. And it clearly shows that he's got it in him, but he just has to now do it from this game onwards to the other games as well. But Cody, just quickly, what do you want to see now till the end of the season? Look, 3 wins in a row. Of course, everyone wants to see us win every single game. And that would be the dream. But is there anything else in particular that you want to see from Glasner Ball or from some of the players? Because now that we're safe?
Honestly, since we are safe, I don't see the problem with maybe letting some of the guys off the bench, like, you know, Ozo, Ahamada getting some time, especially Ahamada, because I'm still yet to see where he belongs in the squad, if he does at all. He's had some rough couple games here lately.
Terrible against West Ham. Like, he was bad, wasn't he?
He was poor against West Ham. He was having a mare that day. He was hard to say. I think he needs a loan, personally. I think he just needs to go on loan and just get used to week in, week out. Maybe even Championship, maybe something like that.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, but I'd like to see Ozo a lot more. He's we've seen him before. He's got the potential to do what we needed him to do. It's just he hadn't got the chance yet. And with us being safe now, I mean, there's no harm, no foul, you know, subbing him in for maybe like Hughes or Wharton, you know. I mean, and that's one thing I didn't get off of this game. I think it was like the close to the 80th minute, maybe a little bit afterward. I can understand the IU substitution coming off, but for, I think it was 1-0 at the time, but for Wharton to come off, for Schlupp, I didn't really necessarily understand that, because I think he could have went through the entire game and been, you know, more of a safety blanket for us to make sure we win that game rather than subbing somebody in and maybe not having the quality of Wharton on the field compared to Schlupp.
Yeah. I didn't have any problems with the subs because of how the game was going, but I don't know if AJ and...
We were knackered. I thought we needed to make a sub. I thought we were... Wharton was knackered. He was on a booking. We were lucky at the end for them not to give that penalty because I've seen them given. We were lucky, like, because that, you know... But listen, we battered them from start to finish. I'll tell you one thing as well. My mate who supports Newcastle, and he's a bit like up himself. He thinks Newcastle were like the bomb, whatever. And he was like, oh, you overwatered your pitch. Typical shithouse tactics from Palace. I went, listen, mate, we battered you start to finish. Like, don't make excuses. It's nice to beat them because they've done us over the past couple of years. Nice to beat them, you know?
Yeah,
for sure. For sure, it's nice to beat them.
Right, I think we've lost D, or he's having a stroke. I'm not too sure.
He'll be back. There he is. I've also got to jump off as well. I'm going to leave
AJ and Cody show now.
Yeah.
AJ and Cody show, mate.
I'm going to have to jump off, guys. All right?
Yeah, man. All right, Stan. Take it easy, man.
Up to Palace, lads.
Up to Palace.
So what we're saying, Cody, what do we need for the rest of the season? So you've obviously these mentioned about the rest of the season, right? Cool. That's fine. Not a problem. So one question I had actually that I want to sort of get out is how do the players that are currently absent from the team get back in? Because you've got to think about Decore, you've got to think about Lerma, you've got to think about Gaye. Like, what are we saying? Like, how do these players get into the squad?
Man, I don't know, AJ, dude. It's... We've got so many good options in midfield now. It's like, you know, what do you do with them? I mean, maybe if we get some players back, maybe we can throw in a... I mean, I know Glasner, with what we have set up tactically wise, is really working for us right now. But maybe we could have those extra guys for maybe, you know, a third midfielder in the middle. I mean, I don't know. If something like that doesn't change, I mean, yeah, we might have to let go of maybe one or two guys or... I don't know, because
you have Gaye into the side. I think it's a case of, like, even when Ayew was in the side, when Elise was out injured, when Elise came back, Ayew just dropped to the bench, and that's how it works. Like, Gaye is a centre. First of all, let's start with this. Gaye is a centre-back. Klein ain't. As good as Klein is playing, he's not centre-back. And Gaye is on his day, I think he's our best defender, without a doubt. Was unreal, and I think that's the most impressive thing about this, is because when you put Gaye into the side, he can handle that pressure. Like, he's so comfortable playing on the ball. I think we improve as a team even further, and we're talking about a team that limited Newcastle to only two shots on target, that kept clean sheet at Anfield. How on earth does this team look when you have Gaye in the side? I don't know, because right now I'm seeing the defense be near enough perfect, but that's the thing. Like, we still haven't had that. Decore is another player. And also, someone mentioned it. France coming off the bench will be a good option as well. Rather than Jeff Boutillot, France coming off the bench, I think that would be a good option as well. I think you'll be able to offer a bit more going forward. And it'll be good to see what France can do under Glasner, because a lot of these players have improved. And naturally, I know it's been a long season for him. At times, you know, we've had the previous manager criticize him. He's barely had any minutes. He's adapting to a new country. He's had injuries. Probably for the best that France just sits out the rest of the season and starts fresh in the summer. But that's another player. And these are players that we still don't have. And despite that, we're still getting results. But look, that's Glasnable. That is Glasnable for you. And hopefully it does continue, because all I want is, from here to the end of the season, more wins. Let's end the season on a high and start the preseason fresh and ready. And hopefully with new signings and ready to kick on, man. I'm excited about next season. But look, Cody, thank you for coming on, bro. Hopefully you catch up with
you. Cody.
See y'all later.
Take care. My bad. My it's serving the Turkish Wi-Fi. Well, it's technically Turkish Wi-Fi, but it's not Wi-Fi. I connected my hotspot. Yeah, the Wi-Fi was moving funny. But look, AJ, let's just quickly go through some of the comments as well. Mateta. When Glasner was first announced, he was one of the players that I was looking at to see what Glasner could do with him. But let's be real. Mateta wasn't even bad under Roy Hodgson. Like, he has made improvements this season. He was still scoring goals. But I think his game has even gone further than that under Glasner. But then again, we've seen Glasner, what he's done with certain strikers in the past. So this is why Mateta was always going to be like one to watch to see if Glasner could get the best out of him. Right now, he is. Look, Mateta was playing like some, like, I don't know, some, how to describe him. He was playing like a kid. He was playing like a kid before. Now he's actually playing to his physical abilities. Like, he's realized he's got the strength, he's got that height, he's got the ability. Like, he had it in him, but he never really showed it. He always used to get bullied off the ball, first touch off, you know, never a good first touch. But now, this season, he's just a new man. 10 Premier League goals. 10, AJ.
Yeah. Mateta was always, I always credited Mateta with the fact that he would run around and he'd work hard. Like, you know, I always said the whole clumsy genius thing. The thing now is he's making better decisions now. That's what it is. And just like you said, he's playing to his strengths and the manager's identified to that to him. So I don't know if the manager's gone in there and just sat down and said, well, actually, this is what's good about the game and this is what he needs to improve. Because now he's got the end products now and now he is actually going for the headers. He's going for the, like, he's going a little bit more harder. Like, I think he's definitely, the manager's obviously said something to him in the longer lines of this. He needs to start playing to assurance. He needs to start finding the back of the net. He just looks more comfortable in front of goal. I think we were kind of looking at him and thinking to ourselves, oh, okay, yeah, it's going to be a throw goal. The pass is going to score in a 50-50. You know, you still get your hopes up. But now it's like, anywhere within that box, mate, when I see Mateta with the ball, I'm thinking, goal, straight away now. So, you are right.
That's why it's important. Confidence. He's got that confidence.
Yeah, and I think the manager has obviously put his arm around his shoulder and said, listen, as it stands right now, you're my guy. And at the end of the day, he does look like that kind of confidence player. He's always across as that kind of confidence player where I think if you get a manager that believes in him that much and will start him week in, week out, and will get the team to create for him, he'll be productive for us. And for me, I'm one for it.
Yeah, yeah. But look, if you want to call into the show, you'll be next in line. So feel free to click on the pinned comment to join us. And if you haven't already done so, like, subscribe. I think we've hit 4.5. Hey, right now, I think we're 4,500 subscribers. So thank you to every single one of you that subscribed. We're about 500 away from the big 5,000, which will be a nice milestone. So make sure, thank you to every single one of you that subscribed. But make sure to, you know, like, subscribe, and let's see how long it takes us to hit that 5,000 subscribers. Look, but it's been fantastic this season, despite it being an awful season for the majority of it and so toxic. It's been good to vent on this channel for the majority of it anyways. Now we can actually enjoy some good football. Look, there's a question here from Animal. He's saying, D, you didn't answer last time. Current Mateta or prime Palace Benteke? This is a hard one. This is a very hard one. Prime Palace Benteke was unreal. He was unreal.
See, he only had that kind of one season where he banged, like, for us.
To be fair.
And then after that, it was... they're kind of the same, aren't they? The thing is, this season's not over yet, so I don't know what kind of numbers Mateta can potentially go to. Ask that question again at the end of the season for me. Ask that question at the end of the season. We'll see what kind of numbers Mateta's on, and then I'll give you an answer. Or I would, well, you know, it's down to you, ask D. You've got to be reasonable, bro. You've got to give me the real numbers to work with.
How many goals do you think Mateta can realistically get under this manager next season?
How many games you got left? Four? No, that's more than that.
Next season. Well, he's already got, 11, I think, this season.
So let's say he's got 11 now, right?
I'm in the chat as well. What's the target for Mateta to have a good season? If he can score 11, and you know...
I need 20 goals for me to know about that life. If he's going to be our main striker up front, because let's be honest, when was the last time we had a 20-goal a season striker? What, Andy Johnson? Maybe. And even that was up for debate because of the obvious penalty situations. So, no, actually, Glenn Murray. I completely forgot Glenn Murray.
He was unreal. That's champ in the Premier League.
But then I guess, the thing is, we have to sort of see what kind of sort of working with next year, because they might go out and get another striker. You know, are they going to be bringing more creativity down the wings and in the midfield? Like, it's all
we need to be careful with that, though. We do need to be careful with that, because as good as Mateta is right now, we need to make sure the backup option is what Glasner wants. Because look, even towards the end of the game, the last few minutes or so, he looked tired and he will look tired. That's normal. That's not about fitness. I mean, if he's running about all game long and he made some great challenges defensively, he will get tired. And if we're talking about fresh season, if we want to have a successful season in both cup competitions as well as a league, we need to make sure there's someone who's a realistic backup option. Because right now, AJ, it seems like Edward has kind of disappeared off the radar in Glasgow.
Yeah, I agree. And I think at the same time, what you've got to take into consideration is if we go 3 months into the new season, Vitesse only banged one or no goals, we're going to go back to this kind of conversation and be sitting there thinking, well, why did we not get another striker? We blatantly didn't get another striker. We just got gassed by the purple patch Vitesse in. I would give Vitesse something to worry about. And I don't know if that looks like we get rid of Edouard or Edouard has to start finding some kind of form, because I don't think the younger options in the team are quite ready to challenge Mateta. So do we Edouard actually got to get them?
Do you think the way Edouard played fits the way Glasgow?
What I saw out of Edouard, and I'm going to just use Sunday as an example, because obviously I was there, I saw in real time. I'm going to be honest, bro. He's coming across as very lazy to me. He's coming across as very lazy. The rest of the team are running their socks off. They're pressing. You know, they're working. They're doing 1-2s. I've always been very hot on the topic of saying he always needs balls to feet and he looks like he just can't be bothered. And that is the vibe I've had for Edwards probably since day one, to be fair. I thought he was the better striker out of the two initially. I'll be fair and honest with that. But after seeing what Mateta does and how he runs and now he's got that end product to his game, I have to kind of put Edouard aside on this point because he has to change with the team or the team will move on without him. If we want to progress and go up the table, we cannot afford to have passengers. We need guys out here that are serious and are going to follow the manager's system. And if that means we have to sacrifice Edouard, we're going to kill us. Is what it is.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, talking about, you know, sacrifices and that, let's quickly mention, just going to quickly give a quick mention to Dean Henderson. I thought, his actual save is very good, but I think if we want to talk about one downside, I'll find out the stats right now, but his distribution at times, AJ, I don't know, maybe I'm looking too much into it. It's just, I mean, that's the side of his game that lets him down, but I guess he's got a bit of time this preseason until the end of the season to try and improve that, because there's times where it's not that hard of a pass and it seems like he just overthinks it and it just doesn't go well.
I still believe there's a lack of confidence there. Like he's not getting there, but I don't think he might.
Do you think clean sheets? I mean, in terms of
today, right? How many shots on target did Newcastle have? I'm pretty sure it was zero. I'm pretty convinced it was zero. I think on shots, about three. Yeah, so I think our shots in total was like three or four. Shots on target. I mean, he didn't do that sort of save towards the end. And then obviously he's on the corner, but let's see
he 21% passing accuracy today. 21%. And I'm just looking at what he only made 5 accurate passes out of 24. And you know, it didn't cost us, but I'm just saying, like, that side of his game does need to improve, because
he does slightly worry me in terms of in goal, but not quite. He's not. I still think he's competent enough to kind of keep up in games, because he is showing small bits of quality. But I would go on record to say, once Johnson's fit, he's got a whole bench for a minute. He's got to earn it. And then when he gets his chance, maybe in the cup, in the preseason, or whichever way around, or maybe another injury for Johnson, fingers crossed, touch wood, that's not the case. But nah, he's not the number one right now. Not as far as I'm concerned. If we've got a full fit squad, he's still got some earning to do. I think he's still got some convincing to do. And that's just my opinion on it. I do think he's a quality keeper. I don't think he was worth the money, because I do still convey the fact that that money should have been spent elsewhere. But he's still an England goalkeeper and he's still got a lot of potential there, and he's still a very decent age for the what we did pay for him. But he ain't it, not right now. And I don't know if it's going to be a case of he's going to grow in confidence coming towards the end of the season. He will get maybe a couple more clean sheets, and then obviously we're having a different conversation.
Distribution, it's not really to say itself. That's the weird thing.
But the distribution, I don't.
Distribution matters. Just as we spoke about fullback and the importance of having a fullback that can attack in the modern day, especially with how we want to play as well, distribution does matter. And it's the only negative. We've been speaking about positives for like 43 minutes old. Like, there's so many positives, but the only real negative is your goalkeeper having 20. Like, thankfully, it didn't cost us, but 21% passing accuracy is just too low. It's just too low.
Is it one of these situations where he's just literally clearing the ball under pressure like that? You know, because there's also a differential between that. He's not Edison, and he's not going to get the ball and start flicking over. He's not going to get the ball and start flicking over striker's heads or trying to, like, you know, Croyton, Isak and play things like that. I don't expect him to do that. At the end of the day, I expect him to do his job first and foremost, and that is get clean sheets. He's got two out of the last three games, which were Liverpool and Newcastle, who are capable of scoring freely. Obviously, the defence is probably helping to make him look good as well, and obviously the way we're playing contributes towards that. But at the end of the day, on paper, he is technically doing his job. So, I mean, yes, his distribution is not nice on the eye. I agree with that. There have been some times where I see him just boot that ball and it maybe hits me more than it hits the player. So, in conversations have obviously got to be had at some point, but I don't know. Can you coach that into him at his age? Or the fact we're going to just have to accept that's just his style of play?
We're going to have to see. Because I think if he has the distribution on point, then I think there's no complaints. But that and crosses, to be fair, he's improved on. Crosses he's improved on. And that's the thing, like, we're talking about Gogba that's kept clean sheet, but, you know, some of these players, I'm pretty sure Dean Henderson himself will have conversation about distribution because, you know, he wants to push himself and be the best possible. It's just the one side of his game that kind of doesn't let him down because he hasn't cost us, but it can let down a team in the long-term future, potentially in certain games if he doesn't improve because teams will target him. Teams will target him. They'll say, you know, he's not confident on the ball. So he needs to just get that confidence on the ball. Because when it comes to saves, I think he's got that confidence. But it's just, you know, when a pass is made to him. And on top of that, we saw with the West Ham game, maybe you can blame Mitchell for the back pass. But, you know, the ball goes under his feet, for example. He just needs to be a bit more confident with his feet going forward. Just quickly about the penalty shouts. I thought Eze should have had a penalty. But Newcastle also said that. Newcastle fans, anyways, are thinking that they were hard done by Longstaff. Do you think we go away with
it? Nah, I think it would have been a case of if you had given one, you would have had to have given the other. And I'll be brutally honest, I thought both of them were light. I thought I agreed with the referee of both of them. I thought they were just both very, very. They were both looking. That's it. Like, Longstaff's one was pathetic.
But Longstaff, yeah, that's not only did, actually that.
Bro, he didn't even tap him on the chest like that. The contact wasn't like. I mean, it's the equivalent of you walking past somebody in the street and saying, excuse me. Like, and then there was like a 2 second delay and then all of a sudden he starts spinning around and falling to the ground. Like, come on, big man. You're like 6'2". Like, let's be a bit reasonable here.
I haven't done much there. Like, he's basically touching. That's it.
They were at that point, they were desperate. I'm going to be honest. It was just desperation looking for a penny. I think with the Eze one, also quite light, to be honest with you. There's no way I'm going to criticise one and not criticise the other. I thought both of them were light. And I think the referee might have made the right decision on both of them. I would actually debate that Longstaff could have potentially even got booked for that dive because it was ridiculous. And I'm starting to get a little wound up about that because as far as I understood, if you are caught diving, i.e. simulation, trying to earn penalties and stuff like that, I'm so sure you're supposed to be booked. So... But you know, when it comes to Premier League consistency, anyway, when we all know that, especially when it comes to Villa's Park as well. So, as far as I was concerned, there was no penalty on both.
Yeah, apparently, I don't know. Apparently, the Premier League's corrupt or something towards Newcastle. That's what some of their fans are saying. But I'm pretty sure not all of them.
Newcastle say a lot of things.
I think the referee didn't have a great game for both teams. I don't think he did. He kind of crumbled.
Just make sure the social media team don't jump on Twitter, and then we should be all right. Innit?
Yeah, exactly. As long as we don't tweet about it, that's fine. I mean, we don't have to tweet about it. Just we won the game. We got bigger things to bigger. No, I'm not gonna say bigger fish to fry. Quickly before we wrap up, look, nice win against Newcastle. 3 wins in a row. Fulham next. Surely you have to be, you know, try.
Am I going to be arrogant or am I going to be chilled? I don't know. Light work.
I'm gonna be outside having a little tan, enjoying the sun, probably a pina colada, by the pool, and then at 5 o'clock, I just want to see some Glasner ball to top it off, man. We better be that win.
Do you know what, right? I might be talking a little bit out of turn here, but I kind of want to catch Brighton, you know, and I don't think it's impossible.
What? Impossible what? To be Fulham? Of course
it's impossible. To catch Brighton, we need as much points as possible. 11th, the 10th and 11th is not impossible. I'm being ambitious, but the way that this manager's talking and the way that it's all slowly coming together, difficult, but not impossible.
Yeah, Brighton's got City next. So hopefully City get that win. And then they've got two games in hand. And then they've got Bournemouth still to play, Villa, Newcastle, Chelsea, United. Like, there are points there to be dropped, as you said. Like, even though they've got two games,
those teams have got Europe to fight for. I mean, they're out of Europe now, and I don't think they're going to get Europe again the next season. I don't think that's going to happen. I think they're kind of out of it.
Well, personally, one of the next in line, so, literally game wise and league position wise, they're 13th, we're 14th.
There's a couple teams with games in hand above us, to be fair. So, that I'm very aware of and that I'm very cautious of. But you know what? Get the points on the board, man. Let's just keep cooking, man. I think Fulham is very beatable. If we go to the same mindset and gameplay that we've been in the recent games, Fulham's got problems. Fulham will be in trouble. But it's subject to us keeping the consistency. Do I think we're going to win the rest of the games from the season? Unlikely. Is it possible? Yes. It just all falls down to the mindset of the players, man, and where they're at. You know, I think they definitely deserve a day of rest because they worked hard, and that was probably the reason why Glazer made a few of the decisions he did today. But I think Fulham is there for the taking. I don't think Fulham are really out here fighting for anything.
They've had the moments where they could beat teams five.
But I think they had a really excellent start, and then it's kind of just gone a little bit stealth for them. So while they're on the come down and we're on the up, let's go for it, man.
Yeah, let's go for it. But look, that's it from me and AJ. Time to wrap up, people. Of course, I'm a bit ahead in time, so it's like 1 a.m. here. But look, I'm loving it. I'm absolutely loving it. I'm loving talking about Palace. I'm loving watching Palace. Even excitement, looking forward to the next game. I never thought I would have this feeling this season, but we've got not that much to play for. We're trying to make up scenarios in our head. Top 10, finish about Brighton, Fulham or whatever. But you just Palace. End of the day, I just can't wait for the next game. And that all goes down to the manager who's given us that belief. But it doesn't stop there. We've still got a few more games this season. And in that game, hopefully, Elise can start as well, which will, you know, be great. But look, that's it from me, AJ. Thanks to every single one of you that's joined us live. If you have enjoyed the stream, like, subscribe. And if you're watching on replay, comment down below. We'll be back for the player ratings that should be posted tomorrow. But until then, up the Palace.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mate's already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.